The title of this message is, I Changed My Mind. I Changed My Mind. And it's the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Now the Lord kept on speaking to Moses, saying, I'm going to read this from the English translation, but I'm going to put some Hebrew in it also. Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between the Migdol and the sea, and you shall camp in the front of Baal-Zephon, opposite it by the sea. Now we're talking about the Sea of Reeds here, by the way. The Sea of Reeds is what it is in the Hebrew. Let's see if I can... Not there. I have to hit the next volume. The Sea of Reeds is where they are. They're between a rock and an ocean, basically. A swamp. And for Pharaoh said, or will say, the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Now remember, he hardened his heart 10 times. Now God's working on him. Mm-hmm. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am Jehovah. And they did so. When the king of Egypt told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart. Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. And they said, what is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? We want our slaves back. And besides that, the best goldsmiths and silversmiths went with them. That's the tribe of Levi. So he made his chariot ready, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 select chariots, 600 chariots, and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them camping by the sea. And besides Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal-Zephon, the lord of Typhon. And Pharaoh drew near, and the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very afraid. They kept on becoming afraid, it says in Hebrew. So that the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Isn't that what we always do when we get in trouble? We cry out to the Lord, and sometimes we'll be real silent for a long time. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us out to die in the wilderness? Number one, Israel begins to grumble and complain. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Wasn't there enough graves already in Egypt? Egypt was nothing but graves and mummies. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. And as for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea of reeds, basically, and divide it. and the sons of Israel go through the midst of the sea on dry land. Remember, this is a boggy, muddy marsh land here. It's probably 10, 15, 20 feet deep in some places, but in the bottom of it is just like a quicksand. But it says, as you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, the sons of Israel will go through in the midst of the sea on what? Not quicksand, not mud, but dry land. And as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of Egyptians so that they go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army and through his chariots and all his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am Jehovah. When I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. And now we have a theophany. Remember what a theophany is? That's exactly what happened in Egypt. Jehovah, also called the angel of the Lord, Jehovah passed over Egypt and all of the firstborn died. And now, the angel of God, or Jehovah, who had been going before the camp of Israel. Now remember, Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, was this Shekinah glory of God. And Jesus led them out. Jesus went over and passed over Egypt and killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians and all of their animals. And now Jehovah leads them out in a pillar of fire at night and a cloud of smoke in the daytime. And this same pillar and cloud, pillar of fire and cloud, is the one that stood over the mercy seat that they're going to build. Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. God always stands behind us and our enemy Satan, doesn't he? And so it came about that the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, there was a cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light in night. It gave light and it gave warmth. It gave guidance in the daytime and warmth and light at night. And thus the one did not come near the other at night. Jehovah stood watch over his people. Jehovah stands watch over you today. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back with a strong east wind all night long and turned the sea into dry land. Now this, remember, is a muddy swamp. And so the waters were divided. It says that the waters stood jailed on end. In the Hebrew, they jailed on end. They stood up and set up like jello. And the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. Even this miracle was totally ignored by the Egyptians, wasn't it? This miracle was ignored by the Egyptians. Then the Egyptians took up pursuit, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and horsemen went in after them in the midst of the sea. And remember, this is the Sea of Reeds. This is that quicksand sea with all that mud and all the marshes. And it came about in the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. Now remember, we're in a muddy area. Have you ever gone someplace? I remember you talked about your Uncle Bud coming out there and getting on the canal bank and getting stuck, and you had to jack it up and put brush and sticks and boards and everything under to get his car unstuck. That's what's going to happen right now. They're going to get stuck in mud. And it caused their chariot wheels to swerve. And he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord's fighting for them against the Egyptians. Now their wheels are stuck in the mud. One time, a long time ago, 50 years ago, that's a pretty long time. Most of you out there aren't even that old, maybe. I was a coon hunter and lion hunter and a bear hunter and up on Greenhorn Mountain. And my friend, Jim Van Hoosen, he decided he was going to get some great big implement tires and cut some deep grooves in them. And he said, I think that they'll be better than our regular mud and snow tires. We can go over this heavy snow and stuff up there. Well, it didn't work. We cut grooves going with the tire. We cut grooves going across the tire. And they just floated around. We skated up there like we were on ice skates. So we took those implement tires back off and we put regular tires back on so we could get traction. And these old boys here aren't going to get any traction. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back over the Egyptians and over the chariots and their horsemen. It was already muddy. The mud had already turned. The quicksand had already turned there. Their wheels were swerving. They were stuck in the mud. And now they're going to be drowned. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to its normal state at daybreak when the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. Pharaoh lost all of his slaves. He lost all of his gold and silversmiths. And now he's going to lose his army. In this theophany, God refers to himself as a messenger, an angel. Melech. God, in His Word, sends a message to us. And this is part of that message. The message is the grace of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Not one way did Israel leave the land, even though there were probably 2 million of them. They could have stood up and fought, but God didn't allow them to stand up and fought. All they had to do was walk. In our lives, all we have to do is walk. This walk is God leads us. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and even Pharaoh's entire army had gone into sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land to the midst of the sea. And the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. They drowned. First of all, they had armor that was like an anchor to them. You know, when you go deep diving or deep sea diving or scuba diving, you have to wear weights. They were weighted down, people. They were weighted down. And they were in that quicksand mire. That God just turned it back into quicksand mire and then turned the waters back upon them. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared Jehovah. And they believed in the Jehovah and His servant Moses. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in the burning bush. The messenger of Jehovah, the messenger of Jehovah. Jehovah, not the death angel, passed over Egypt that night on the Passover night. Jesus passed over in His Shekinah glory, pre-incarnate form, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire led Israel wherever they went. Today, in God's churches, the Spirit of God through His Word leads us. The Spirit of God through His Word leads us. And every day, Jesus is always between us and Satan. And Satan is alive and well, people. Just read the book of Job over and over again, because we are in warfare every day. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, tells us we're in that warfare all the time. Let's go to the book of Ephesians quickly. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. This is quite a book. This is a heavenly book. But it's an earthly book also, because it also tells us what's going on around us. Verse number 10. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might," not ours. If you try to depend on your strength, you're wasting your time. We are facing supernatural powers beyond what we are. "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the methods of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and the powers, against the world grabbers," is what it says in the Greek, world grabbers, "of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." And as you study the history of nations, you can see this so prevalent. World grabbers. Tyrannies. That's the word tyranny there. That is the word despots. Tyranny. You know, tyranny will try to lie to you and tell you everything's all right, when all the time it's not all right. Tyranny will put fear in you, and they'll rule by fear and threats. And we see this taking over in America today, don't we? We see the forces of evil in very high places now. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in that evil day, and having done everything, to stand, stand." Still stand. "Stand firm, therefore, having girded on the loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of the righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one." He is there. "And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. "With all prayer and petition, and pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel," the secrets of the gospel. This morning we had two messages on prayer, the doctrine of prayer. Tonight we see the power of God, and we see the power of God's protection. We see the confidence that God puts in us. Israel had no confidence. No confidence. Have you ever met somebody in your life that just didn't have any confidence, and you just threw a little bit of confidence here and a little bit of confidence there and a little bit of confidence, and pretty soon they had done things that they never thought they could do in their life. Done things that they never thought they could do. God can help us do things that we never thought we could do. Our Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify you. Please use it for your honor and glory. Please help your servants serve you. Give them the confidence they need to walk through the flames of fire in this old world. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.